into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Good Wife After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking about the deconstruction tonight. We are in season six, of course, this wonderful Sunday evening. It is almost May. I am Bobby DeMuro. That is Tara Johnson.
Hello.
Tara, it's almost May.
It is almost May, and I cannot believe that. But my birthday is in June, so I am just overjoyed
what
that
day
May
are you?
Is coming.
What day?
First.
Oh, I'm June 5.
What?
Let's on June 3rd, let's have a birthday party.
No doubt. Geminis are in the house.
Okay. June 8th right here.
Wait, Steven, right. When's your birthday, producer Steven?
The 8th. I just said that.
Yes.
Oh, all right. There
That's
we go.
That's what I'm saying.
So we've got, okay, so June's a big month, so hurry up, May. Let's talk Good Wife today, because you guys don't want to hear about our birthdays. I mean, if you do, we
yes,
can talk
do.
For 45 minutes
June
about it.
June 1st. I'm just kidding.
Tara's address, if you want to send flowers.
I accept all gifts.
Okay, we got a lot to talk about today, not the least of which is Kalinda.
Yes.
We're going to do that at the end, because we know a little bit about teasing things and
Absolutely.
Making you see the whole show. Mm-hmm. But on a serious note, before we get started, if you are watching on YouTube, keep commenting. You guys do a great job on this. Really, really smart comments. I host the Kardashians on AfterBuzz. You should see some of the comments we get. The Good Wife, which they're still awesome, but the Good Wife audience is really intelligent.
They are.
So keep commenting. We love hearing from you guys. If you're listening on iTunes, on the podcast version, you can tweet us. I am at Bobby DeMuro. You are what? TJ wagging her tail.
Yes, constantly.
and our we'll put our Twitters up on the YouTube thing too if you want to tweet us. But comment there. We want to hear what you thought about Kalinda and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
First things first, before Kalinda, let's talk about the politics of the law firm. Alicia's back. I feel like we went back in time a couple of seasons. I don't really mean that in a good way.
No, I almost felt like we went back to the pilot. Like
yeah.
in the beginning when Alicia was making her statement and then they had the scene where when she and Peter grabbed hands, I was like, oh, we're back at the pilot
yep.
again. Like, we're starting back day one. But that's how it felt to the law firm, too. It was Alicia starting over. And it was a ton of office politics. I found it so crazy that they've already changed the name that quickly.
Yeah.
And she, as much as she wants to be, is completely out of the inner circle. Even if she'd come back, she never would have been a part of that inner circle again. And by the end of the episode, I was saying to myself, not returning is the best thing because you would never trust these people again and they would never trust you again. Like, that season seems to be over.
And not only that, but really just esoterically, you can't go back to the way
yeah.
things were when you leave
mm-hmm.
them. There's something to be said about chapters of life, which is kind of like an Oprah thing. I know it's not like my deal.
We are not talking about Lady negatively about Lady O.
I okay.
We loves Lady O around here.
Don't say we.
I loves Lady O
there
around
we go.
Here.
That's fine. But it's an esoteric thing. You can't go back to the
right.
way it was. But in this case, I think it's true. And she shouldn't have even tried. And maybe it's just her fault for not knowing where to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even her fault, but you're just stressed out about not taking office and you don't know what to do. So this is your out. This is the way you go back.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to believe that her financial situation is such that she has at least a little bit of time to flesh some things out.
Right.
We can do predictions later about where she's going to end up.
Right.
But she definitely should not have gone back there. And I think by the end of the episode when she's doubled over crying, I think we recognize, among other things that she's crying about,
right.
I think we recognize she will not go back there.
No. And it would be just completely different. I mean, think about it. Those negotiations they went through with her exit package. I mean, I don't hold anything against either party because for where they were at the time, everyone used the correct strategy. You
yeah.
have to do what you have to do when you're in the situation that you're in. But after you've done all that, after the waters have been muddied, to like go back and say, oh, never mind. Let's just, as Finn was saying, let's just go back to status quo as if nothing happened. You can't do that.
Yeah.
They were at each other's throat. And let's think about it. Once you throw David Lee in the mix,
oh god,
everything changes. You, come on,
you beat me to the punch on that. Yeah. You put David Lee on the letterhead. You put David Lee on the partner thing. You get what you deserve.
You get what you get. Like it's over. I mean, even if cooler heads would have prevailed, because I do. I mean, I was really shocked at this, that when all the back and forth and the telephone stuff happened, Diane and Carrie just didn't cut through the chase and say, Alicia, what is going on? And Diane looked to David Lee and said, what do you propose? When they were, you know, trying to bring her back, I was like, oh, this is going to go completely left, because if you're going to David Lee for advice, hang it up. Alicia's not coming back.
And remember, Diane and Alicia had a tenuous relationship mm-hmm. before they got together in right. this firm. There was a big makeup to get together again in, what, season five, I guess, yeah. in the middle of season five. So for them to even be at this point, to be in this firm together, things haven't always been rosy for them. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk status quo? Maybe Diane and Alicia being at each other's throats actually is the status quo.
I think so. I mean, Carrie is the only one who was like calmly throughout the entire thing. We want her back. Like, reminding everyone, she started this firm,
yeah.
right? I mean, you know, David, your name just got up on the letterhead and on the wall recently. Diane, let's think about it. You had nowhere to go, and this firm took you in and allowed you to come in as a name partner. But this was Carrie and Alicia who orchestrated this whole thing. You guys would have no place to go. So I just thought it was a tad strange, and Carrie was like, let's just remember what's going on here and who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But too much has happened. Things have changed too much. It's just that chapter's over. It's
now,
just over.
Okay, you know what? We're going to spend a lot of time on Kalinda, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
So let's just do a couple. Let's just make these predictions of this segment now, because I want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about the politics and the logistics of the negotiations, because what happened, mm-hmm. and I think that does a disservice. So let's open it up to the viewers, too, because we want to hear from
yeah,
them.
Yeah, definitely.
Where does Diane go? Where does Alicia go? What happens with this situation alone moving forward?
Yeah, I think Diane stays where she is. She's a pretty strong woman, and she's pretty, you know, headstrong. And now she has RD as yeah. that client. She's going nowhere. I mean, yeah. at the end of the episode, RD said you can't bring Alicia back, and that was the end of that discussion. So Diane is going nowhere if RD is going to stay put. David's not going anywhere. I mean, he's all about stability, but he's about anyone who will take him on. The question mark for me is Carrie. Carrie's character has, like, fallen off completely since his, you know, litigation and possibility of going to jail for the past 6 years. He's been such a quiet character in the last, what, five or six episodes.
Longer, even.
Longer, that you don't know what's going on with him. But I think he is the question mark, and he may be the one person who says, this is just completely wrong. And even when everything was going on with Alicia, he's always been the one who calmly said, Alicia, I'm sorry. And I think sincerely meant it. Alicia, I'm sorry. We did this together. You were really there for me, even when I was going through my worst period of time. I think Carrie may, and I throw this out as a prediction, but I think Carrie may be the question mark who simply says, Alicia, you know, I got your back.
Yeah.
And we know Carrie's bank account is six figures large, because we found that out when he was going through all his troubles. And the two of them combining again and starting over, they did it before.
And don't forget, with Carrie, there's another wild card at play, and that is the aforementioned Kalinda. And without getting into her story, we've teased this like nine times. We'll talk about Kalinda later. We'll talk about her later. But without getting into her yet, this affects Carrie in a way that it doesn't affect anybody else.
Right.
And so it might be worthwhile to think about Carrie as, I hate to say this, but I'll make it because I'm predicting, a ghost. I don't know if he's going to leave the show. I mean, you know, he's not. Archie Punjabi was heading out. She's
right.
done.
She's
but
done.
I don't know if it's the same thing with Carrie, with Matt. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Neither do I.
Chukri Chizuk.
Matt Hottie. Let's just call him Matt Hottie. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, you can't do that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you can. Whatever.
Yeah, Matt Hottie.
I get confused. So you guys like Finn. You like Carrie. Is everybody hot? You guys like Peter Florek, obviously. Mr. Big. Everybody loves Mr. Big.
Me, myself, I'm an equal opportunity person. So I don't feel as if hotness has a limit. And the more hot guys you have on a show for different reasons, because let's be honest, Peter's hot for a reason, Carrie's hot for a reason, Finn's hot for a reason, but I love to share my hotness classification around, I love to spread it around. So don't ever feel as if there's not enough hotness in my camp. I love to share it. So
I'm really happy to know you have room in your heart for or wherever it goes for all of these.
There's room in the world for many hot men. Just saying.
Well, that's good to know. Maybe one day I can, you know, achieve something like that with people talking about me.
Oh, Bobby, you're hot.
No.
But I will say there was one line in the show that really hit me, and it was when Alicia was talking to Grace.
Yeah.
And Grace was saying, "Oh, Mom have you ever had a chance to make these speeches and really change someone's mind? And she said, no, but maybe in the future. And so to me, that was almost a kind of a glimpse into what we can expect from Alicia. And I think with Kalinda leaving, Carrie's going to be a different person. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if for whatever reason he changes too. And that's why I think he's kind of the wild card. We'll see what happens with
him. He is the wild card. And I also think there's still Finn hanging out practicing law. And what if Alicia and Finn get together? Because they're both idealistic. They're both very, you know, not realistic in the best sense. Mm-hmm. They're both idealistic, and they think the best of people, mm-hmm. whereas Diane is a little more realistic. Who's to say that Alicia and Finn don't, you know, become some sort of, not public defenders, but almost doing a lot of pro bono work,
right,
doing something like that. And that was Alicia's foreshadowing with Grace. You know, not yet, but maybe in the future I'll make these speeches. Maybe she becomes, we saw a public defender in the show today. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a little bit of foreshadowing too. We see Alicia doing similar work to that, taking on nonprofit law or, you know, whatever, taking on the Innocence Project type stuff where she's trying to, you know, get convictions overturned, something like that. And she says, I've been the high powered attorney. I've been the governor's wife. I've dealt with all the things I had to deal with there. I've effectively been the state's attorney. I never took office, but I did the worst part for me, which was the campaign. Now I want to do something idealistic that's actually going to help people, that you know, cut the bullshit. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to actually what the law is about.
Right.
And seeing that movie is one of the pieces of foreshadowing.
Yeah,
but
we will know whatever she does, every case will be against someone in Lockhart, Akos, and Lee.
It has to be.
It will be like the only two law firms in Chicago. So we know that. We know they're going to go head-to-head every single episode.
And that would make it really interesting with Reese Dipple, because I love Reese's character just because he's essentially there just playing the devil's advocate.
He's it. That's it.
You know, that's the perfect character for him to play. It's the perfect character to have at this time. He's maybe one day he'll become too annoying where every episode there's this classic Republican-Democrat dichotomy. I can see that getting old, so he's have to develop out of that. But I really like the way that he's sort of injected a totally different non-legal perspective into a law firm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very academic, another esoteric, I'll use the word again, a very esoteric look at the law. It's not hard and fast who's convicted, what happened, but he's kind of like, let's test this big idea.
Right.
Let's test this mandatory minimum sentencing thing. We can use a test case, but I want to think about the general idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll open up some good conversations in this show, but open up some good conversations among cast members, among Diane and David Lee and
whomever
else.
And that even leads more to the area of doing kind of that in public interest type of work.
Yeah.
So that leads down the road where Alicia and Finn, maybe Carrie or whomever, can do that kind of thing. And again, be back in court against Diane and David and
talk about
else.
Talk about character development. Look how much Diane has developed in the three episodes Reese Dipple has been here,
three or four
or whatever. Talk about all the character development that can come from everybody else. And I think you're looking at RD as, in a weird way, Kalinda's replacement. He comes on, we introduce him, he hopefully will be here for a while. Clearly he's going to stay with the firm since Alicia's not coming back, it looks like.
He quashed that really
so
quickly.
I think he might be, in a way, Kalinda's replacement, because he can take on, when you're thinking about writing these things, his character can take on all the hot button issues of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion rights, gun control, gay marriage, mandatory minimum sentencing they did today.
Right.
He's already run the gamut.
It's
going to keep going.
Right.
So, you know, what's the next major political, cultural, social issue? You know, you'll laugh at this maybe, but something about transgendered people with Bruce Jenner.
Oh,
a huge story like that effectively they can turn into a legal case because Reese Dipple is going to test it out.
Yeah, and I'm not, that is not to me that far-fetched at all. I mean, it's a hot topic right now. For a conservative, that's really a hot button to push. And again, that's something that I could see Alicia, Finn, you know, someone getting behind and being on the opposite side of the table.
Yeah.
It's very true.
I want to know, and I'm just going to throw this out here, and maybe this is a terrible idea, but I'm interested to see what people have to say, because I think most of the characters, not the actors, not the personal actors, but the characters on The Good Wife, most all of those lawyers are pretty liberal. That
mm-hmm.
whole law firm's pretty liberal. David Lee's bullshitting about being
a
Republican.
If you have the more, whatever, he's whatever the person with the most money
exactly.
in the room has.
Exactly.
Right. He's that.
But most of those lawyers, if not all of them, are pretty liberal.
Seems
I think
to
we are probably pretty liberal from the conversations we've had. I hope we give enough concessions to the right.
And if we don't, you guys let us know.
Exactly. But I want to know, and this is just a pure curiosity from me, if you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube, comment. How does your political spectrum, how does your spectrum relate to this show? Do conservatives watch this show? Are there predominantly liberals who watch this show? I don't know that it matters. I'm not like, you know, trying to bust up conservatives. Yeah. I'm just interested in, is RD a stomachable character for both? Do liberals think, hey, we like having him? And do conservatives who watch the show think he's a good representation?
I would love to know that because I think he has brought a different side of it. I mean, yeah. Just the conversations that he and Diane have and their banter going back and forth in the last three or four episodes since he's really introduced himself, it has really brought different perspectives. And I will have to say, I am quite liberal, but since RD has come on the show, the issues they've taken up, it's made me go, wait a minute, maybe I'm not as liberal as I thought I was. Maybe I'm a little more middle of the road. So it's an interesting perspective. I would love to hear what everyone thinks out there, too.
So if you're watching on YouTube, comment, you know, give us, if you can, you don't need to get too private. We don't want to pry. But if you are, especially if you're a conservative watching, give us what you think of RD, if he represents your views, or not even your views, but represents what a conservative generally looks
like. That's interesting.
Because he's really the only outspoken one on the show
and
right now.
He is outspoken.
And if you're a liberal, maybe like you, if you're a liberal, has RD changed any of your views?
Anything.
That's just an interesting. I would love to know the demographic that watches The Good Wife more than age and stuff like that. I mean, like, what the demographic actually is into.
I love that. That's a good one.
That's something that I would like to know. So if you guys are on YouTube, comment. If you're listening to the podcast, on Twitter, at Bobby DeMuro, at TJ Wagon Her Tail.
Hit me up.
I would love to have a conversation about that. I could talk all day about politics.
I know. That's good. No, that's good. That's good. I like that.
So let's move on to – I want to give us enough time for Kalinda. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to this mandatory minimum sentencing, Luis Nolfi. Okay. Only 26 tabs of ecstasy. I mean, half tabs.
Half
only
tabs.
13 tabs of ecstasy. Listen, I had a night last night. Let me tell you.
Was your limit? Did you have 16 in possession, Bobby? Are you sure you want to reveal that?
I haven't slept in 3 days. I've been in a rave all weekend. No, I mean, it's an interesting story, I guess. And it goes back to RD. This obviously connects to the test case or the RD. We see that awful probation officer.
Love Linda Lavin.
Oh,
I wonder what happened to her hand. But I love Linda Lavin just because... She's just there like, cut the BS. I have seen it all. You guys are trying. And by the way, Miss Nolfi going in there trying to convince her she was a drug addict was the worst thing I think I've ever seen on The Good Wife. I don't know why Diane tried it. Diane knows this, you know, pre-sentencing officer. Why would you try it with her?
I guess you got to give it a shot. You got to say, if your argument is the public defender gave you not good enough defense, you would have to try to do everything within your power, even if you're pushing the truth a little bit.
I want to get that horse off my back, too. It was horrible.
It's an interesting one, and they don't cover it, but I think it's sort of implicit, is Diane and this whole law firm and every lawyer on this case, on this show, represents very high wealth individuals.
Absolutely.
Luis Nolfi is not.
Mm-hmm.
And to have to go to the pre-sentencing officer is to have to go to a place where low wealth individuals go.
And you
go.
Could tell Diane was a little uncomfortable.
100%. And this is a very stark contrast and a very, I think, poignant but subtle, if that's possible, commentary on the law. That there are two laws.
Oh.
There is the high, which we know.
Totally.
But there's the high class individual. Diane's my lawyer. I got a power attorney. I can do things here and there. People can talk to people. I can get probation. And there's the low class that even a lawyer like Diane has to trudge in to the pre-sentencing officer with the scum, you know,
right.
Which is wrong. But you know what I'm saying that for. It's a very stark contrast between what Diane usually does, and now you have a person you're trying to help. And this is not Colin Sweeney. This is not a game.
Right.
This is somebody who's going to be really – she's going to die in prison if this doesn't happen for her.
Totally. And I think it's such – I think it's such a reflection of Chicago, and nothing against Chicago. I've lived there before, and I think it's exactly described Chicago.
Or big cities.
There's two sides to it, and you can get your entire life can be on one side or the other.
Yeah.
So when you have to kind of cross that barrier and go from, okay, I'm on this upper echelon side to have to drudge down and do something lower than what I'm used to, you're like a fish out of water. Whereas other people are like, this is no big deal. We talk to our pre-sentence officer all the time.
Yeah.
Then you get a chance to trudge uptown, and you're like, wait, what is this? So you could tell Diane was so uncomfortable, but I thought it was great that she wanted to help this woman, even because she just thought it was just the right thing to do. And we can all say what we can say about the minimum or maximum sentencing requirements, but even it, this episode just showed us where there was those loopholes that you just didn't think about everyone, right? When you think about drug sentencing, you think about the hardened criminal and the addict. What about someone who falls in between?
Yeah.
Who's really neither and just gotten caught up in it. And even the, you know, the law they put in place to try to help real drug addicts and let them go to rehab. I mean, I looked up the law. It goes on one side or the other. The gray in between, Miss Nofi was right there. She would have served 6 to 30 years, and it was absolutely insane.
And this is also a great commentary on Diane playing, for better or worse, the stereotypical liberal, the stereotypical bleeding heart liberal, right, as RD continuously calls her out on. And Diane has had to go through a lot of soul searching with her liberal views. And I don't think she's changed anything. And
No. She's
obviously intelligent enough to know, but she's seen her views in action now a few episodes in a row with some of these test cases. And today was a big one for her. Almost as if the writers were kind of poking fun at Diane's character and saying, if you want to be the bleeding heart liberal, you got to go where the people you say you want to help
are.
You got to go help them.
But I have to also say, and again, I'm not trying to say I want Ms. Nofi to serve 16 to 30 years, but it would have been very interesting to see what would have happened to Diane and her views and her way of handling things if it wouldn't have worked. Because it's very different when you're working with a Colin Sweeney or whatever, you know, someone who doesn't close their $1 million deal or who you know, chum hum loses millions of dollars. That's a different thing than seeing a little old lady, a little old grandma, go to jail for 6 to 30 years. I would have loved to have seen what would have happened to Diane if she would have dealt with the other side of society and then lost.
Yeah, there's I would love to have enough money to lose a couple million and have it not be a big deal. And I don't right now, unfortunately.
Right.
But this will sound weird, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that all of the high-priced cases that they do and all of the high-stakes things that they do and all the extremely wealthy clients they do, none of those cases bankrupt those clients.
Right.
And so to a certain degree, not completely, but to a certain degree, you're almost not in real life when you deal with those cases. And here you have a grandma who's worth ostensibly nothing,
right,
who's about to go to jail for decades for doing something that really wasn't her fault. That's life.
I mean,
this is a person affected by life. This is totally different.
I mean, I will tell you just from my practice, and I did transactional stuff, but there have been many times where I was working on a closing and someone was buying a $1 million building and, okay, they want to close on Thursday, we can close on Friday. I didn't lose any sleep over that. I'll just be honest with you. I didn't lose any sleep. But there was also things I was helping, you know, families who desperately needed to move into a house by a particular time for whatever reason, you know, the wife's about to give birth or whatever. Those are the things that kept me up at night because they were real issues and really affecting people. And so there is a difference to someone who's wealthy and, you know, they'll be okay, right? They'll float their money. They may lose a day of interest. That's not a big deal. But when you're dealing with real people and real issues, it really hits you in a different place.
Yeah. And that's not just, you know, hey, rich people have issues, but.
Yeah, but they're rich people issues.
You got to put it, it's first world problems, right?
Right.
You got to put it in relative terms. And I think Diane starts to see that with stories like this,
right,
which is a good thing for her. And she wasn't ever necessarily ignorant to it, but it's good for us to know that she knows.
Right.
It's good for us to know that she sees this because she's so high powered. It's like, at that level, I'm surprised she's in court as much as she is and it's for TV. But when you're a partner of a law firm at that level, you're managing the firm. You're not even in court.
You're not, you're not in court, or you have all the associates below you go to court, and you go to court only when you want to.
Exactly. You go on the big day or if there's a huge case or whatever. And she's there all the time.
All the time.
So
I don't know what Carrie's doing. We're trying to figure that out. But Diane's there there all the time.
But hey, good, it all worked out. You know, Luis Nolfi's gonna go home, 6 months of probation served.
Already
so
served. And I thought it was great to see who brought that last piece of information in to get Ms. Nofi off. Oh, but Kalinda, as she always does.
And it's funny too that Kalinda's we're gonna talk about Kalinda now. So we've made it through the teasers.
There you go. You've hung in there with us for 26, almost 27 minutes. We're gonna talk about Kalinda now.
The Kalinda story is perfect in a way that the Nolfi thing is the final thing she did.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so, to her, it's so insignificant. It's not Bishop. It's not this huge story we've been working on for one, you know, plus seasons.
Right.
It's not the campaign. It's not her relationship with Alicia, although that's part of this. But the last thing she did before she says, you know, take care of yourself, or what, you know, life's too short to be mad.
Right.
Before she says that, is, hey, you know, just check out, ecstasy costs a grand, not $500. Just check that out.
That's really weird to me that no one thought of that before, being, you know, the public defender who worked for Justice Ginsburg. Like, no one thought of that before to, like, check the value. And but, of course, Kalinda did and came in at the ninth hour and, like, saved everything.
Oh, Kalinda.
Oh, Kalinda.
Hey, first things first with Kalinda. Still no Alicia and Kalinda scene.
I couldn't believe that. I thought we were going to get it at the end when she went to her house and mm-hmm. Grace opened the door. I thought Alicia was going to come. And even if it was just that passing in the hallway type, I thought we were going to get something. A brush of the shoulder, an eye, some eye contact, something. Nothing.
Nothing. Are you unsatisfied by that?
Because
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, it doesn't. I will say, I know there are going to be people out there who are really bothered by it.
I think most people will be bothered by it.
Not me. Because really? I don't think the moment, I think doing that would have taken away from Kalinda's moment. Because when she stood in the doorway and Grace said goodbye and she turned and looked at Grace and said goodbye, that needed to be her moment. And if Alicia was in that scene at all, it would have taken away from that moment. Because that's when we really knew Kalinda was gone.
And Alicia, I'm going to admit something very, very embarrassing about myself on air right now. Yeah. I have been rewatching Dawson's Creek. I'll admit it. And I said re.
Because you watched it the first time.
Exactly. So, and I am probably going to go home tonight and going to catch another episode before I go to bed. But the reason I mention that is this. I like that Kalinda and Alicia, and you guys can totally make fun of me about it. It's cool. It's whatever. I like that Kalinda and Alicia.
Right. Let's I like get the that. Names, right? Like that, that combo.
Alinda and Kalisha.
Yeah, I like that combo.
I like that Kalinda and Alicia didn't meet in this episode because if they had, the scene would have drawn itself out like a Dawson's Creek type scene.
Right.
Way over dramatic, mm-hmm. way overdone, unrealistic.
Right.
And the fact that they once again missed each other and Kalinda's exit was so simple.
It was.
It's a complicated reason with Bishop. All of our predictions about her getting killed, right. her working for Bishop, all these things. It ended up being so simple.
It was very simple. And it was very much about her.
And nothing, not overdone music, not overdone acting. She was just very, you know, goodbye.
It was, I'm done. I have to go. No explanation to anyone. Even when she said goodbye to Carrie, it wasn't any kind of explanation. It was, I'll take care of it. And he's like, what is it? I'll take care of it. She left.
In a way, too, I know we learn a lot about Kalinda, but not nearly all that we needed to know. Mm-hmm. Kalinda was always kind of a mystery. This is perfect because Kalinda, and this I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but Kalinda was sort of the least human of all the characters.
Right. No, I agree.
She was a tool to be used. She was a very good investigator, and it's like, we're using the tool, and oh, we don't have the tool anymore. And there's... I know that there's something unsatisfying to viewers about that, especially with Alicia, but I think there's also something beautiful in that, that every other character has this development and this drawn-out thing.
Right.
And, you know, Alicia even crying and keeling over at the end, just so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But Kalinda is like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that we won't know the impact of Kalinda's departure until next week or the last two episodes. But for Kalinda, it is an assignment or a job, and this is how you end it.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't, let me go around and tell. I mean, I was even surprised that she went to Alicia's house. I do get it because it's the good wife, and Alicia's one of the main characters. I do get that. But there wasn't this thing where she, like, walked around and talked to everyone and left everyone notes. Like, they could have made it really much more dramatic. She could have left everyone notes. She called Diane and was like, I won't be in tomorrow. Diane's like, oh, okay, all right, well, I'll see you the next day. You know, it was just, this is what I have to do. This is the person I am. There's no, let me go tell Dylan goodbye. It was, I'm Ghost. This is who I am. And she kept that same level of mystery that she had when she was on the show with her departure. I liked it. I mean, I felt the impact of it. I was like, oh, this is for real. This is how she has to handle this. And because she doesn't want to get anyone else involved, she has to separate herself because... You know, Bishop could have grabbed her, you know, could have done a ton of things. But if I'm gone, then Bishop deals with me away from everyone else. You may or may not ever know what happens to me. And that's the way I want it.
That's a good point, too, is Bishop then doesn't come to her friends and coworkers and say, where is she? That's a good point. And I just feel like I would have done something similar to Kalinda in that situation. I'm of the same personality that it's not long, drawn out goodbyes. I don't know if you noticed, but the note that Kalinda wrote to Alicia, and I'm going to ask you what you think it said in a mm-hmm. minute. But before I ask you that, and you guys... I want you to, I don't know if you remember, but Alicia tosses it on the table and we never see the note.
Never.
But we do see portions of the inside of the note. I didn't see any writing. And we didn't see the whole thing. But what that means to me is Kalinda's message was very brief.
Yeah.
It's not a long, drawn-out letter and blah, 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 blah. Just something really simple.
Right.
I got to go. Whatever it was. So I guess I'll ask you, what do you think the note said?
Kalinda being Kalinda and their relationship being what it was, I think it just simply said goodbye. I think that's all it said. And I, for Kalinda being her, getting that note, you would know that there's no changing her mind. There's no return. There's no, oh, one day I'll see her again. A goodbye is, that's it for me.
I think it would have been something about the election.
Do you?
Like, sorry about the election. Something like that. Maybe worded slightly more significantly than just, hey, sorry about the election.
Right.
But I think it was something like that, because just Kalinda knew it was something important to Alicia. It's mm-hmm. a bad thing to happen. And that's just Kalinda's way of tying up a loose end without tying up a loose end.
Right.
And maybe that's what pushed Alicia over the edge to double down and, you know, cry.
Yeah.
A crazy prediction would be Kalinda, you know, copping to having something to do with, you know, voting machines in the election.
Oh, wow.
That's insane. Maybe it would have happened.
Maybe.
That's a crazy thing. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but I think that would have been too much. I think it was just a real simple, you know, sorry about the state's attorney race.
I think for Alicia, for her, you know, doubling over and crying, it was kind of like, if Kalinda's gone, then this really is the end of that chapter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, even though Alicia was running for SA's office, she talked to Kalinda a lot about what was going on, and she kept her abreast of what was going on with Carrie. But to know that that chapter's gone, she can't return to the law firm, and Kalinda's gone, it's like, it's really done. And there's no one around. I don't know if there's going to be anyone around from that previous chapter of my life. I'm really standing here on my own.
Does Alicia have what it takes to have a rebirth? Because Peter certainly does and was pep-talking her.
Yeah.
She's not the same person. Does she have what it takes?
You know, the entire time I was watching the episode, your voice was ringing in my head going, because you were saying, Alicia, this isn't for Alicia. She can't do this. This is too much for her. And I really found it very ironic that it was the person who was in her corner. All these people have been around Alicia for all this time when she had the SA's office. There was Eli. There was Johnny Elfman. There was Josh, the guy who was, you know, helping out with the campaign. There was Marissa, her body person. But when all the crap hit the fan, it was she and Peter in the kitchen.
Yeah.
By themselves. And it wasn't her talking to him. It was him trying to encourage her. I found it was really, you know, that's the person who you, regardless of what happens to your relationship, that's the person who you know is going to be by your side. I don't know. What I see is, and I guess it's a little bit of a prediction, is I don't think she has it in her right now. I do think that it's going to take more from Peter, and I think there may be somewhat of a rebirth in their relationship because she may have a different level of respect for him and realize that everything else that happened was, you know, all the stuff that happened before, but when it really comes to it, like, this is the time you really figure out who's in your corner when your name is political mud and you don't have any more fancy clients and you don't know what your next turn is going to be. This is when you really figure out who's in your corner. And as of right now, from what we've seen, I mean, I don't even think Grace even understands the magnitude, but Grace is her daughter, so she knows that.
Yeah.
But it's Peter. And I find it difficult to believe that there can't be some type of reconnection or rebirth or something in their relationship. And I do think he's going to be the person who's going to continue to push her. And with his help, she'll have a rebirth.
And remember, Peter has run the gamut.
Totally.
In every sense of the word.
Every sense of the word.
And there's two things I really liked about Kalinda's departure now. And the SA's attorney race now. There are two episodes left this season. Mm-hmm. I realize I didn't watch the previews 2 weeks ago. In the last episode, I didn't watch the previews. The coming, next week on The Good Wife. I didn't see that, so I didn't have any inkling. I don't know if they even teased it, but I didn't have any inkling about Kalinda leaving now.
Right, no, yeah, there wasn't any tease.
So nobody would have really
known. No one knew.
So about 30 minutes in, I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
This is it.
She's gone.
This is the thing that has to happen. And so watching it was really cool to see, but it would have been so stereotypical if she left in the last episode.
Totally.
And it would have been so stereotypical if Alicia had to resign
in the last episode
and deal with that. And then you'd come back in season 7 and you'd say, hey, 6 months later, Alicia lands on her feet. Now, at least we get to see Alicia struggle for 2 episodes.
At least.
If she has a whole season of struggle, you might lose some viewers.
Right.
If she has an off season where you say 6 months later, Alicia's good, I think you cheat the viewer.
Totally.
But this splits the difference where you give us a few episodes of what you just talked about with Alicia and Peter rekindling, not really a relationship, right. maybe, but rekindling something because they're in each other's corner
right,
again.
Mutual respect or something.
And you get to see her really struggle and give me, you know, 88 minutes of really struggling, not 22 episodes of it. Give me 2 episodes of it. That's enough. I need to see it. I want to know that there's no happy endings in the right. real world, you know.
Yeah.
Make TV more like the real world. Show me that this is not a happy ending. And then next season, when we're here in the fall or whatever, then we can do, okay, 6 months later, then this happened, blah, blah, blah. But yeah. at least we have these 2 weeks coming up.
Yeah, and there's going to be, I think, a huge ripple effect because I think you're going to see Alicia struggle. You're going to see that new law firm struggle.
Yeah.
Because I do think that Alicia leaving because of finally RD putting his foot down is going to cause a major rift. I think you're going to feel, also the law firm is going to feel the real weight of Kalinda no longer being there. So in a certain sense, I mean, Peter also. Peter's like, my wife, this has happened to my wife. Eli, I think in a certain sense, everyone's a little bit off. And so we're going to see everyone kind of struggle to redefine what's going to go on and what's going to happen in the future because, you know, for the last 6 seasons, Alicia has been on this climb. Now she's dropped off and fallen. Same thing for the law firm. Same thing for Diane. Diane's still in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, there's no resolution to her case as of yet with the metadata. And now Kalinda's gone. So she's in that struggle by herself. So there's a lot of stuff going on we're going to see in these next 2 episodes. And I think you're right. I'm glad they're not cheating us. And it would have been so easy for all of this to happen in the last episode of season 6. But that's just so trite. And so I'm glad they didn't do that. They're just setting us up for something different and giving us a little bit of what's to come. And it's a question mark, I think, for everybody. What's
yeah.
to come?
Yeah, it's almost better that you have the climax a couple episodes early. And mm-hmm. then you can have enough of a resolution in the next 2 episodes, or maybe we're totally wrong and something even crazier happens next week.
Who knows? I mean, with the Kings, who knows?
You can't predict it. Back to Kalinda real quick about Lamond Bishop. Will Lamond get her? Will we ever? Well, actually, let me ask you a broader question. Will we ever see her again, period?
I don't think we'll ever see her. And I think the way her apartment was left leaves so much to your imagination because I saw it at first, the hole in her wall, and I'm thinking, okay, Kalinda had some stuff back there. This is Kalinda. She's always prepared for the worst, right? So she had to break down, put a hole in the wall in order to get whatever documents
yeah.
from behind the wall. Then I thought, okay, before Lamond got arrested, RD put it together. Or DR. DR put it together. Oh, Kalinda did this and took my flash drive. Maybe they grabbed Kalinda. So I don't think we'll ever know. I don't think we'll ever see Kalinda again. But I think just the way the apartment was left, it leaves your mind spinning. I would love to know what everybody else thinks. Like, what do you think happened to Kalinda? Do you think she left on her own? Or do you think somebody took her?
I would love to leave it open-ended. Yeah. I would love for them to deal with Kalinda not being there, but nobody ever knows. They never get a postcard.
Right.
They never say, you know, they found Kalinda's body.
Right.
They
Nothing.
Believe it's Lamond Bishop. None of that. Don't do that. Leave it open-ended. She could be in Spain. She could be in Turkey. She could be in Abilene, Texas.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. She's
leave
gone.
It, yeah. Leave it open-ended. Never see her again. Maybe, I guess, like they tried to bring Will Gardner back, but it was a different actor a couple weeks, which is so dumb.
Please don't do that again.
Don't do that. If you're going to bring her back for any reason, actually bring her back.
Right. Bring
but
her
if you're going to do that, make it a flashback or make it a very brief cameo.
Yeah.
But she's gone. Let her be gone.
Let her be gone.
You know, and
everyone's
and,
starting a new chapter.
And
let
to be
gone.
Honest, with her, as much as I love the guy, let Lamond Bishop be gone. It's time.
You're right. I think it's like you have the entire SA's office after this man. You have information on him. He's finally been arrested, it seems like. I don't know what's on the flash drive, but I mean, who leaves their personal computer and all their, you know, business on their
who
computer?
Who doesn't have
like,
a password on their
I thought it was, I was like, this is almost too simple. Anyone could have done this, you know, months ago, seasons ago. But I think you're right. I think it's time for Bishop, too. I mean, everyone's starting a new chapter. Let's close this chapter with Lamond Bishop. Is, you know, as attractive and as well-dressed as he is. I have to throw that in. But I think it's time to close that chapter, too.
We need less Lamond Bishop, Finn, Carey, and more RD, because RD is not attractive.
What did you just say? Why would you ever say something like that?
Just, you know, wanted to toss things up in the air.
No, don't listen to Bobby. Never.
All right, let's get to, I think we kind of covered all the stories, and I know you guys did a bunch of news a couple weeks ago at our last episode. So let's just do predictions,
mm-hmm.
which we haven't been doing already.
Right.
But let's do some predictions right now. Let's kind of close the book on these.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
I don't know why I'm doing this with my hand.
And I'm swaying. So maybe like, my prediction, I think I've said it before. I do. And I actually, I cannot remember her Twitter handle, but there's one of our fans who tweeted us this last week. So I'm going to take a little bit of her prediction and add to it.
Oh, yeah. You can't remember her Twitter handle. Sure.
I promise I'll give her credit. I can't remember. But when she tweeted me this prediction, I was like, whoa, I love it. She said she thinks Alicia and Finn will join forces.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I take it a step further, and I think Carrie will come too. He's just been too silent. There's nothing holding him at the law firm. We all know he doesn't get... Who gets along with David Lee? You know, who gets along with David Lee? Diane is going in this kind of liberal RD, fighting the bigger cause type of thing. There's no one else at the law firm. Kalinda's gone. Carrie's kind of in the wind. I think Carrie will go with Alicia and Finn, and the three of them will start their own thing.
I'll go even crazier. I'm not going to cop to believing this myself, but I'm just going to put this out in the universe.
Put it out there.
You saw the coming attractions for next week, correct?
Mm-hmm, I did.
Who's involved in those previews?
I think I saw Alicia crying with some boxes. I saw Finn briefly, I think. I saw Eli.
Who else you see?
Who are free?
You saw Lewis Canning, didn't you?
Oh, Canning. And he was threatening everyone, saying, I'll take all your money. Oh.
Who is uniquely in Alicia's ear in a way that is really... Well, unique to her. No other lawyer on those teams. Canning
That's
and Alicia
a
have a weird
one.
Relationship. Canning has also been, when he was in the hospital on his deathbed, saying he wanted to go clean and, you know, get this money for the families, get this stuff. Let's take Canning at face value on stuff like that. What if he turns a corner and can convince Alicia?
Bobby, I've got to give credit where credit is due. That's so good.
I'm just saying, a Canning and Alicia alliance, you never
see
it coming.
That's so good. That is really... All right. You see it here first. Bobby, that's good.
I'm telling
you. That's a good one.
All right. Hey, we want to hear your predictions at home. And again, I want to know as best as you can. You obviously don't share, you know, as much as you want. You can just tell us a little bit. But I'd like to know... general political affiliations.
Right.
If we have Republicans who watch this, please comment and tell us what you think of RD.
Very curious.
How RD is mm-hmm. portrayed as a Republican, because I would like to know that. And Democrats who watch this, I have a feeling it's more Democrats, or more, I shouldn't say Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative.
Liberal, conservative, yeah.
More liberals who watch this. What do you think of RD? Does he add to the show, or are you sick of him and kind of the whole dichotomy of the liberal, conservative thing?
And let us know what you think about Kalinda. Will she return? How do you think she left? Did she walk out the door? Was she, you know, carried out the door? Like, what do you think about that also?
I would love it. YouTube, you can comment on YouTube if you're watching the video. If you are listening on iTunes, hit subscribe on either one.
Please.
You better hit subscribe. And you guys can follow us on Twitter at TJ Wagon Her Tail.
Wagon.
At Bobby DeMiro. I will throw those links up on the video tomorrow morning so you can tweet us from there. But that's it, guys. We'll see you next week here on The Good Wife. For Tara, I'm Bobby. Thank you so much. See you in a week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.